This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from Cleveland, Ohio. Tonight, did you know you could be charged for drunk driving your drone? Spotify has improved the podcast function in its app. Target is targeting same-day delivery. And deepfakes are coming to a website near you. I want to welcome you to episode 1375 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, June 13th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and supported by listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And you too can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Hey folks, another show from the road, but this one in a different city of Ohio. Welcome to the show, everyone. If you're a brand new listener, welcome to the podcast. Make sure you get over to GeekNewsCentral.com so you can subscribe to the show and the newsletter. You'll find all that information on the website. And of course, if you just want to listen to the show, you can do that at Blueberry.com or on the website at GeekNewsCentral.com. You can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat, or you can join our Slack channel. And all you have to do to join the Slack channel is to email me at geeknews@gmail.com or drop me a note on Twitter as well. You can follow on Facebook just searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows include, and these are all linked at Geek News Central, the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and the Podcast Legends Show. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You can find all my deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, a $4.99.com, a dollar a month economy hosting, including a free domain for the first year for $12 or $1 a month. Or get a managed WordPress hosting site, again with a free domain, for the first year for as low as a dollar a month. Definitely check out all these deals. Of course, if you are a business owner, we've got an offer there for you for the GoDaddy website builder. Allows you to build your website with absolutely no technical expertise whatsoever. You get a 30-day free trial by checking out the GoDaddy website builder product. And of course, again, all my codes are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show not only by using the codes, but sharing these codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, linking to the website page via your social media account or on Facebook. It's just like giving an in-kind show donation when you do that, when you link up to it from an external source, and I greatly appreciate it when you do so. Again, find all my deals, again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, I'm catching you guys all up here on what's going on. It's been, I'm going to just say it. It's been a long week. I have been slammed, essentially walking in the office in Columbus at about 7:45, 8 a.m., and then just pushing all the way through evening stuff. So it's been busy. Very, 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 very busy. Got a lot of stuff done this week with the team. Back to Michigan tomorrow. I've got a meeting tomorrow morning here in Cleveland. And then I drive back, and I should be back and working on the new studio in Michigan on Saturday morning. And then I'll be in Michigan all next week. If you've been following my Facebook page, you'll know that my container is on the train, traversing the United States. It currently is just a little bit south of Albuquerque, New Mexico. So it's made it about 36 hours from Long Beach to Albuquerque. And then we've got a long haul to go. You know, really, I think it'll probably make Chicago 2-4 days. And then how long it takes to get processed in Chicago, I don't know. And then the trek over to Detroit and then truck to me. I'm hoping, and I really have my fingers crossed, to have that container in my hot little hands by the 21st. But things are, you know, I'm looking at my schedule. And matter of fact, I've got, was working with the team on it here. And it's nuts. It really, really is. So week of the 17th, going to be in Michigan. I'm supposed to be back in Columbus the week of the 24th. And then I go on a multi-city tour starting on the following week, and all the way through like the 14th. So I'm going to be not back in Michigan. And then I come back to Columbus on the week of the 15th. So there's going to be like a month, almost a month. I'm going to not even be, in Michigan. And then there's going to be a back and forth Columbus, Michigan, going to, Orlando, back to Michigan, going to Columbus, then Dragon Con, Mid-Atlantic podcast event, the Outlier event that takes us all the way out through September 15th. So things are crazy indeed. Now, I still am going to be back to Hawaii for 3 or 4 days, around the 19th to the 22nd. So yeah, it's just a full schedule. I'm thinking to myself, when in the world am I going to get this studio put together? So have to make the best time that I can, because things don't really calm down. You know, I'm going to have a week here, week there, middle of July, 2 weeks in August, again with some side trips. It's pretty remarkable what I'm undertaking here now that I'm back and within easy striking distance of this stuff and booking hotels and getting the schedule around. So it is what it is. This is the phase of life that I am in currently, and don't worry, it's going to be a lot of fun and a journey. You guys are going to be hanging out with me, whether we do an internet audio, I mean, if we're doing video or audio, it doesn't really matter. I can do the show really from anywhere, and I guess that's really the key. When we did the show last, the internet was up in the new office. Spectrum came in. I guess the modem was bad. They replaced that. So I've got internet when I get home, because I've got a show Saturday and an interview. It's just a lineup of stuff going on. And what's really interesting about this is the email and the contacts. It really has made a difference, positive difference, because it's just something about being in Hawaii and people just feel that, I don't know how to explain it, except that being on the East Coast is, it's just a new dynamic, especially with me having officially moved. So anyway, that's what's going on. I'll be honest, tonight I'm just like, I'm toast. Kirk's got the show lined up for us here tonight, and I want to thank him for doing the prep. I found a few additional articles. But probably this weekend, painting, putting up shelving. I've got a desk that has arrived. trying to make as much hay as possible with what I have, and just rooting for the container to continue to make its trek across America. Follow on the Facebook page. I've been posting updates. Train's not moving as fast as I would expect. I'd expect it to be moving significantly faster. 10-15 miles per hour is kind of maybe what it's averaging, maybe 20. I don't know how much of that is them parked on the rail waiting for other trains to go by. And we'll see, continue to watch the progress. Again, we're in New Mexico, and hopefully as we get into Texas, maybe we'll pick up some speed, but the only time will really truly tell on this is, and I'm sure they're dropping cars off and picking stuff up. So that's probably part of the, you know, what's happening with the stack and why it's, you know, making what I consider slow progress, because it's definitely not express in any way. So I'm going to switch up here to what's going on with the tech world and the show. In Japan, they have outlawed flying drones while intoxicated. This law was passed by the country's parliament this week. It seeks to rein in growing use of the unmanned aerial vehicles. Those found to be intoxicated while flying a drone could face a fine of up to 300,000 yen. That's some significant dollars, my folks. That's a big one. It's really a big fine. It's like $3,000. So that's huge. The law covers drones weighing more than 200 grams or 7 ounces, and also puts limits on where drones can be flown. They say, we believe operating drones after consuming alcohol is as serious as drunk driving. A Japanese transport minister official told the AFP news agency, as well as fines over drunken use, the legislation also levies fines on pilots who perform dangerous stunts with the drone. Those caught quickly plunging the craft towards crowds could face up to a 500,000 yen fine or $5,000. Drones are now banned from being flown within 300 meters or 985 feet of Japan's armed forces, U.S. military personnel, and defense-related facilities without prior permission. So they're cracking down here. And of course, the 150-meter altitude limit is still in effect, only flying in daytime, keeping the drone in sight. So I would imagine quite a few drone incidents in Japan has driven this legislation. Spotify has redesigned your library to highlight podcasts. The overhaul is rolling out to premium users, and it's giving music and podcasts their own sections. Each has 3 distinct tabs you can tap or swipe between. In podcasts, you have the option to view new episodes for shows you follow and those you haven't listened to, as well as an overview of all shows to which you've subscribed. Shows, basically, the downloads tab, unsurprisingly, includes all the episodes you've downloaded for offline listening. So this is a big move. Spotify is continues to press the flesh in trying to get more users to use, and they are starting to gain some market share across the entire world. Target is now offering same-day delivery through its website, and with Amazon planning to do the same thing for Prime members, Target is improving its same-day delivery offering as well. The retailer announced today it's making it easier for customers to have their purchases delivered on the same day. They'll be able to place their orders directly on Target.com and have them delivered by the company called Shipt, S-H-I-P-T. They say, with same-day delivery now available directly with the Target.com experience, we've made it even easier for our guests to shop at Target, said Target Senior Vice President Digital Dawn Block. Customers can get 65,000 items delivered to them as little as an hour after they place the order directly on the website. They also can use their Red Card to pay in order to get 5% off purchases, in addition to taking advantage of weekly promotions. Prior to this, customers would have to visit Shipt's website or app or browse a selection of Target products that were available for delivery. Target has acquired the Shipt grocery delivery service in 2017. Now they're fully integrated. Now, you're going to pay for this. You're going to pay a flat fee of $9.99 per delivery. And depending on where you are and how far your Target store is, kind of makes a lot of sense. So now those that intend to use the service frequently can subscribe to an annual membership, which costs $99 per year after the 4-week trial ends. Don't know what the actual $99 gets you, if it gets you free shipments or not. Deepfakes, according to CNET, are coming to Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and those services may not be ready. They say that the Dr. Pelosi video may be just the tip of the iceberg. Now, on May 22nd, a Facebook page called Politics Watchdog posted the video, which is slow to give the impression that the Democratic lawmaker from California was slurring her words. I kind of feel like I'm doing that tonight. But Facebook allowed the video to remain on its service, but displayed articles by fact-checkers. YouTube pulled it. Twitter let it stay on its platform as well. The differing responses underscores a challenge that manipulated video and misinformation more broadly poses for the companies. The social networks have rules against posting intentional misleading information, but they also try to encourage free expression. Finding a balance is proving difficult for these groups. Now, pressure is building on them to find an answer. Now, on Thursday, The House Intelligence Committee held a hearing on manipulated media and what they're calling deep fakes. Again, that's a technique that uses AI to create videos of people doing or saying things they didn't actually do. The Pelosi video, a simpler form of edited videos that some viewers thought was real, isn't considered a deep fake, but it's an example of how social media companies deal with manipulated content. And of course, the problem is going to get worse, with lots of software being able to take common speech, like I'm speaking now, and develop a logarithm or basically an adaptation to great content that sounds just like me or other people. So we'll see what happens here as we move forward on this. And I'm sure as the tech improves in that particular sector, we're going to see a lot more of this activity. Google says that Apple's new sign-in button is a good idea. And although they kind of responded negatively to the privacy jab, so, you know, we remember at WWDC last week, Apple unveiled the new privacy tool called Sign-In with Apple, and it's basically an alternative to single sign-on services offered by Facebook and Google. Apple appeared to take a shot at its competitors at the time by saying that even free services need to respect privacy. Google's Mark Reisner reportedly wasn't pleased about the jab, but thinks the technology will make people safer. He says, there was a bunch of innuendo wrapped around the release that suggested that only one of them, aka Apple logins, is pure and the rest of them are kind of corrupt. And obviously, I don't like that, Risher, a director of product management at Google, told The Verge in a public interview that was published on Wednesday. He said Google hasn't properly articulated exactly what happens when a user clicks sign in with Google, which could lead to misunderstandings at the time when people feel unsafe in this digital world. Overall, he said that Google's sign-on option or sign-in with Apple is better than random usernames and passwords. Of course they think that, because they will then control the login and log information to that account. I just don't think that this is good for third-party services. Yes, I'll log in to Apple, but I'm not going to use Apple sign-in to sign into other websites. It just got too much bad taste in my mouth about all these companies. Now, Apple's saying it's going to be all secure, it's going to be private, but I don't know. Too much control for too few companies. Facebook's banned research app collected data on almost 200,000 users. Of course, if you remember, that research app paid users, including teenagers, up to $20 a month for data on how they used their phone. And now, with these new numbers being racked up, this is pretty shocking. And in a letter dated March 1st to Senator Richard Blumenthal, Ed Markey, and Josh Hawley, Facebook said it collected data on 31,000 users in the U.S., 4,300 of them who were teenagers. But of course, now Facebook released a new research app called Study from Facebook, and it's available only on Android for users 18 or older. In the United States and India, Facebook says the app will analyze what apps are on your phone, how much time you spend on them, the country, and what type of device and network you're on. So again, here we have them doing more research and studying us. It's just a little bit unnerving, to be honest with you. But Apple said they blocked Facebook from offering this to iPhone users. And Apple blocked Facebook from offering to iPhone users collected sensitive device data on 187,000 users, the social network told lawmakers. Okay, that doesn't make sense. The app, which had gained attention earlier this year after Apple blocked Facebook from offering to iPhone users, okay, collected sensitive device data on 187,000 users. Okay, so there's where the 200,000 a number came in. You got to read the entire sentence. That's what you have to do. Pluto TV brings free streaming network to Comcast Xfinity X1 cable boxes. So they found another home. Pluto TV is available on the Roku and a variety of other devices. And so, you know, they're on Samsung, Sony, Vizio TVs, and now on the Comcast Xfinity X1 cable box. So the Viacom-owned Plutum TV offers 130 channels on its free service, though unlike rival streaming TV services such as Sling, DirecTV Now, and YouTube TV, it lacks many traditional live television stations such as ESPN, CNN, as well as broadcast channels ABC, NBC, Fox, and CBS. Well, maybe we don't need ESPN, CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox. Let's be frank. Maybe it's time for diverge ourselves of some of that content that's being put out that is quite, in my opinion, such that not good for your mental health. NASA is investing in technology to map the moon and mine asteroids. Of course, NASA plans to return to the moon in the next decade, and it won't be just for a quick visit. The agency wants to establish a long-term human presence on and in space around the moon, but that's going to require new tech. The NASA Innovative Advanced Concepts Program aims to develop those technologies, and two NIC projects have advanced the Phase 3 study. The first Phase 3 proposal comes from Carnegie Mellon, and it focuses on creating accurate models of craters on the surface of the moon. The Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter has been mapping the moon for the past decade, but so-called Skylight missions above would go a step further, using high-resolution cameras on a rover to create full 3D models of craters. So we'll see. And they're also looking at being able to mine the moon as well as one would expect if they're trying to reduce the number of resources they have to basically launch and deliver. Amazon has been sued over the Alexa child recordings in the U.S., Two U.S. cases allege that the firm lacks consent to create voice prints that could let it keep track of a youngster's use of Alexa-enabled devices. So Amazon has said it only stores data once the device owner is given permission, and it says that parents can delete a child's profile and recordings. But lawyers involved in the case are seeking damages for the two plaintiffs involved, as well as others who are being invited to join the class action lawsuit in 9 states where it claimed Amazon is a breach of privacy laws. Amazon, of course, said in January more than 100 million devices featuring Alexa had been sold worldwide, ranging from its Echo speakers to third-party products, including headphones, fridges, and televisions. So these class action lawsuits, one filed in Los Angeles on behalf of an 8-year-old and one in Seattle on behalf of a 10-year-old. In both cases, the children had interacted with Echo Dot speakers in their homes. In both cases, the parents claimed they never agreed for their child's voice to be recorded. I think this is going to be a problem for Amazon. I would imagine at some point they're going to have to write a check. I just have that feeling. Apple has hinted that several MacBook updates may still arrive this year. The 12-inch MacBook and the MacBook Air could see a refresh. Apple has filed for several new Mac models with the Eurasian Economic Commission. In the past, these registrations have been a precursor to products announcements only a few months later. The 7 model numbers are designated as portable, meaning they're MacBooks of some sort. So there's 7 different stock numbers, but it could be a couple of versions of each. So we'll see what happens here. And we know that Apple said to be working on a brand new 16-inch MacBook Pro. It's exciting, with an overhaul design, but a 2019 release for that product seems a little off base. So we'll see where this leads as announcements come out later this year. Ajit Pai says NOAA and NASA are wrong about 5G harming weather forecast. The FCC recently auctioned spectrum in the 24 gigahertz band under controversial circumstances. And when asked about the controversy at yesterday's Senate Commerce Committee hearing, Pai said the data provided by NASA and NOAA is faulty. He also criticized the agencies for raising concerns at the 11th hour. He says their study was fundamentally flawed. For example, it ignores the fact that 5G will involve beamforming, essentially adaptive antenna arrays that will be more precisely send 5G signals, sort of a rifle shot, if you will, instead of a shotgun blast of 5G spectrum. And I talked about this on the show. I talked about 5G being very directional, line of sight. It's not like it's going to be this big broadcast signal. It's not. It can't be. That 24 gigahertz is a challenging frequency. It's a micromillimeter wave, very line of sight, doesn't penetrate walls, doesn't go through trees. You have to be able to see the antenna that is sending the signal to you, or the receiver has to be able to physically see the antenna that it's receiving from. So we'll see where this goes. And NOAA continues to predict a 77% data loss. Time will tell. I'm doubtful. Monzo. You've heard about Monzo. If you live in Europe and listen to the show, you probably do. Monzo apps is coming to the United States. It's a banking app, and it's not going to be a bank. It's going to be kind of a transfer money into it and do bill pay type of service. And the initial version will allow person-to-person payments, pots to split savings from spending money, and no fee international spending. Monzo tends to become a full licensed U.S. bank with the help of a partner bank, but that's a long process. So they're going to start doing some stuff they can do here. Those of you that are in Europe already know about Monzo, as it's been operating there. It's pretty popular. Speaking of NOAA is upgrading its U.S. weather forecast model. The core U.S. weather forecast model is about to receive a much-needed update. So the global forecast system is switching to what's called a new dynamically core called the Finite Volume Cubed Sphere, FV3. This change will bring about a massive improvements in global numerical weather prediction with improved forecasts of severe weather and winter storms in addition to tropical cyclone intensity and tracks. The FV3 was originally developed by NOAA's research scientists as a tool to predict long-range weather patterns at the time frames from multiple decades to seasonal, sub-seasonal, and interannual. It has expanded to become the engine for NOAA's next-generation global forecast system in recent years. So GFS with FV3 combines advanced dynamics of global climate change modeling with the reliability and speed of day-to-day operation of numerical weather prediction. So we'll see how this goes. Verizon is now selling a $100 tracking device with 1 year of free service. This is called the Verizon Smart Locator. It's a tiny device that can be kept with your keys, a bag, or other possessions, even your pets, so that you never want to lose. Similar to the Samsung SmartThings tracker that AT&T sells, Verizon's new gadget uses a combination of Bluetooth, GPS, Wi-Fi-based positioning, and LTE coverage for pinpoint accuracy, whether your mobile network is present or not. Unlock a tile. Which requires you to be in Bluetooth range to find missing items. It's attached to Verizon. Says the smart locator work even if you're nowhere near it. Tile also has a community-based property that alerts you if another tile owner should pass by your lost property. A companion smart locator hub app for smartphone apps allows you to adjust the frequency of location pings and so forth to help you preserve the battery, which will last about 5 days. So interesting. They're coming out with these trackers. What are you going to do, attach these to your kids or your gear? Kickstarter is warning creators against calling their projects the world's best. So it's asking its users tone down the language and to lay off misleading imagery. An attempt to promote transparency, the 10-year platform has issued new rules and guidelines aimed at honest and clear presentation. The guidelines caution against using words that are too good to be true. They're actually calling it superlatives, and puffery. So the company's taken an even stronger stance against heavily manipulated images. According to its new rules, presentations should be honest, transparent, based in reality, not overly slick, salesy, or deceptive anyway. Products should be shown in their current state with the least amount of editing possible. If projects include both hardware and software, they'll need to show users that features work or explain the functions haven't developed yet. Violating these rules can result in a project suspension. So take Buddy, for instance. The social robot raised $659,000, but more than 4 years later is yet to ship, and its creators are keep asking for more money. Even Energizer relied on Hyperbole when it tried to raise money for the world's longest-lasting smartphone, a campaign that reached a mere 1% of its funding goal. While Indiegogo tried to offer more security with guaranteed shipping on some campaigns, Kickstarter solution appear to be discouraging outrageous upfront claims. Well, if you were in New York City, Jupiter was very bright. The King of Planets is showing up in the skies these days. So someone that was in New York, a sky watcher, was captured some shots of Jupiter and published that over at space.com. And, of course, I'm sure if you're in areas where there's less light noise, you probably can see Jupiter in the early evening as well. Samsung's The Wall Luxury is a 292-inch 8K modular TV. So Samsung has announced a new version of The Wall, and this new version has a maximum resolution of 8K, creating a TV that measures, again, 292 inches from corner to corner. Alternatively, a 2K configuration of a TV is available that's just 73 inches. The Wall Luxury will be available starting next month. How much is it going to cost? Does it say? It doesn't. But basically, they use multiple screens to put this together. It's a modular TV, 292 inches. That's pretty massive, if you ask me. Pretty big. But I guess that's why they put them on walls, probably in businesses and so forth. Huawei has trademarked its own mobile OS following the U.S. ban. The company filed the Hanmeng trademark for use around the world. Huawei is making moves to sidestep the Trump administration de facto ban by trademarking its own operating system. The U.S., which has reportedly been in works for years, was named and trademark application filed in Peru under the name Hanmeng for use within 9 countries in Europe, although it's been filed under the name Arc OS on the continent. The company has previously suggested the system could roll out as early as this fall, but it only seems likely to do so if it's permanently denied access to Android. However, while launching its own OS is one way Huawei could continue operation in the U.S. of its U.S. ban, there are concerns about such a system security, as software is not the company's strongest area. No kidding. So, anyway, Huawei has trademarked its own mobile OS. AT&T has really cracked down. They canceled all Galaxy Fold pre-orders. This cannot be good news. According to the email, AT&T has told customers that since Samsung has delayed the phone and there is no new release date in sight, the carriers decided to cancel pre-orders. They also note that any charges held on your credit card will be released, and if they were charged, they will be able to get a refund for it. However, this does not mean that the carrier will no longer be offering the phone. AT&T says in the email that once a new release date is set, they will start taking pre-orders again. Unfortunately, there's no mention on when that will happen, and of course, I don't think Samsung knows either. Over on TechCrunch, Telegram faced a serious denial of service attack in China. The popular encrypted messaging service is once again being hit with a DOS as protesters in Hong Kong take to the streets. For the last several days, Hong Kong has been overrun with demonstrators protesting a new law that would put the municipality more directly under the control of the mainland China authoritarian government, or the communist China government. One of the tools that the organizers have turned to is, of course, Telegram. So it's not surprising that they've been under a denial of service attack, probably from the Chinese themselves. And of course, this isn't the first time that someone's tried to take down Telegram at a time when China was experiencing significant unrest. 4 years ago, a similar attack struck the company's service just as China was initiating a crackdown on human rights lawyers in the country. An article in the Hong Kong Free Press described the situation on the mainland where the company's web version of its app was blocked from servers in Beijing, Inner Mongolia, Shenzhen, and Yuan. So it's not surprising. Because the Chinese communist government can do this. No one's going to tell them not to. According to the Wall Street Journal, Facebook's new cryptocurrency is getting some big backers. Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, and Uber are among the firms that will invest around $10 million each into the consortium that will govern the digital coin. Still don't feel so warm and fuzzy about using a digital coin from Facebook. Just, to me, rings wrong. They've recruited these folks as online merchants to help launch the crypto-based payment system and seeking a raise around $1 billion for the effort, codenamed Project Libra. And of course, the secret project in the works for more than a year revolves around a digital coin that its users could send to each other and make purchases both on Facebook and across the internet. So, of course, Facebook declined to comment on this, and we'll see what happens next week if they truly announce that. Near Field Communication, NFC, gets a lot more powerful on iOS 13. Of course, NFC, the technology that helps Apple Pay, as well as other clever features for iOS apps, like Launch Center's Pro tappable stickers, is getting a big update. It's instead of only allowing iPhone apps to read NFC tags, apps will be able to write directly to blank tags as well. As well as interact with tags through native protocols. This opens a wider range of new application possibilities. So, like reading passports. Interesting. What else will it be able to do? For example, both Engadget Japan and Nikkei have reported the Japanese government will add support for NFC tag reading to Japan's national IDs when iOS 13 launches later this year. Wow, that's big. In addition, the UK government's NFC passport reader, Read ID, will now work on the iPhone as of iOS 13 updates. The announcement also means that Read ID will also work on iPhones using embedded internal NFC capability. So that's big. So NFC, we'll see where this goes. Big article here. I have it linked up to you in the show notes. Finally tonight, Alibaba has filed for a Hong Kong mega listing. This is basically the equivalent of a New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ IPO. And they feel they could raise, how much money did they say? The offering from China's largest corporation could raise as much as $20 billion. Though Alibaba hasn't finalized its fundraising target. Alibaba had roughly $30 billion in cash as of March. I wonder if anybody actually audited that. The Chinese are famous for overstating the amount of cash they have. And Alibaba has ridden a surge in Chinese online commerce along with increasingly affluent middle class. So the deal could help finance a costly war of subsidies with some sort of food delivery service. All right, anyway. So they're looking to do a public offering. All right, that's going to wrap me up here. Kind of a short show tonight. Back in Michigan next week. And yeah, I'm back on the Roadcaster for 2 episodes. Be doing that at the studio. Excited to be doing the first show from the studio, even though it's just going to be from a desk. And get more set up. I'll be in the studio all week next week, working as well as getting the studio ready for the container. Get as much work done before the big load of stuff comes. Hopefully in good shape. But anyway, it's been an interesting transition here. I've had a couple of nights of insomnia. I'm not quite sure where that's coming from. I think it's just my body resisting a complete change and not knowing and knowing that I'm not going to be transitioning back to Hawaii. So that mindset maybe is impacting me a little bit. But I do want to continue to thank you for your ongoing support of the sponsor. I want to thank you for your ongoing donations as to our Insider program. If you're not an Insider already, please consider being one. Contributions at $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. You can get started as low as 6.7 cents a day. And one-time donations are welcome as well at geeknesscentral.com/insider If you have comments on today's show, please send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. We'll see you back here on Monday. Everyone take care. Be safe out there. Aloha.